Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. More about that at stewardship.com. And while you're there, check out this new resource called Chris Recommends. You'll find articles by me and by other writers, and you can find out more about Financial Peace University or endorse local providers and our great books. Again, click on Chris Recommends at stewardship.com. The phone lines are open. Call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. From Fargo, North Dakota, this is Dave calling in. Dave, how you doing?
Great. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am blessed. How can I serve you today?
I have a question about a company credit card. I work for a small farmer, so it's pretty much just a couple of us, and there's times I need to make company purchases for work. Most of the time they're small, less than $100. Every once in a while it's up to a couple thousand. So I have a company credit card that is in my name, and I pulled my credit report the other day, and the balance and the available credit and the credit utilized percentage all shows my credit report under my name. And I was wondering, what happens if for some reason that bill's not paid? Does the late payment go against my credit? Am I responsible for any of that? I called the credit card company and they said, oh no, never fear, you're just a user. You're not the primary cardholder, so it's not your responsibility. But should I trust them?
Well, there is absolutely no way I would be okay with using a company credit card if it was going to go on my credit, good or bad. That's crazy.
Right.
Unless you're some kind of minority owner of some sort and you're on the internal docs of the organization, there's no way that should be going on your credit at all. I don't like it at all. So I was going to, my first thought was when you were talking about this, I was, man, make sure you check your credit. You already have. And that's an issue. So is there another way where you can make large purchases? Yes. There's this thing. It's this four-letter word that people are afraid of. It's called cash. And we have a 500-person company here, and we all function on debit cards. Can you believe that? We probably have 15 to 20 people traveling at a time, rental cars, airlines, you name it, and we're all using debit cards, and we survive. It's amazing. It can happen. So, I just got back from a trip, and I was given an envelope full of petty cash. And I used that in the airport. I used that at restaurants. I came back and I did the little reconciliation on my envelope of how much I spent my petty cash, turned it in, and we all survived. So do companies need to use credit cards? No, no, and more no. And I know the number one comeback is going to be, oh, we need the points. We need the points. Well, we're not going to get into that today, but the points are not worth it. You spend 20% more because you're trying to get the points. So it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, man, you should not be getting hit on your credit. I know you're not getting hit yet, but it shouldn't even be showing up. And I would be concerned, and I would talk to your employer and talk to that credit card company.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's fine. We have tried checks, but the bookkeeper doesn't really like us carrying around signed checks, you know?
Here's the thing on the checks. You don't just be an authorized signer. You don't have to walk around with signed checks, and you sign one form. You're an authorized signer. You're already authorized for the credit cards. Of course, you can be authorized for the checks. So they give you can sign them, and then you can walk around with checks, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, great idea.
All right. Well, thank you.
By the boss.
Good, good. Let us know how it goes. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Folks, remember, you can email me at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Crystal writes in, hey, Chris, my husband is a pastor and was recently assigned to a church in a small community. This assignment would allow us to live in a parsonage, rent and utilities free. The parsonage is livable, could use some painting and some cleaning up, and it's in an okay neighborhood. We are currently trying to decide whether or not to live in this parsonage. We currently live in a metropolitan area, and it takes approximately 50 minutes to get to church. We currently rent an apartment whose lease is up next month, and my current work commute is approximately 15 to 20 minutes. We're recent graduates of Financial Peace University and really striving to work on our pretty large debt snowball. Any extra money available would be beneficial to us. However, is it worth an almost two-hour daily commute for myself and dealing with the stress of moving? Since you've been a pastor before, I thought I would ask you for your thoughts. Thank you for taking the time to read my email and for hosting such a great show. All right. Well, I don't have all the information here, Crystal, but based on what you've told me, here's how I would break this down. The quickest way to save a ton of money in your budget is in this housing arena because it's 25% of your budget. Some people it's 35 and 45% of their budget. They got way too much house. So this is the place where you can make the biggest cuts and you have a great opportunity in front of you. So what I would do is I would weigh out. So let's just say you're spending $1,500 a month on housing, non-parsonage housing. Is it worth going into the parsonage for free? And so you got $1,500, it's $18,000 a year. That's a big savings. Now you do have a two-hour commute. That is annoying. I understand that. But I wonder if the 2 hours that you're losing, if that's taking away your time to be able to A, prep food, or B, do laundry, or C, do some other kind of responsibility for you and your husband. I wonder if you could hire that out. What if you hired that out for like $500 a month? And so you're out $6,000 a month to hire out that time that you lost. And so your responsibilities are still getting done. Then in the car, you're listening to podcasts and working on self-development during those two-hour period of time in the car. So you're learning your self-development. And listen, you've now made a $12,000 upswing in your finances. You have $6,000 in new services that you need because of this move. And You saved $18,000 in monthly rental payments. So it looks like a $12,000 gain. If that really helps you with your debt snowball, I would do it. Of course, you got moving expenses in there. Probably cost, I don't know, probably not much. Maybe $700 to move across town, $500 to move across town. Because you're not doing first and last month's rent and all that kind of stuff and deposit. So I like it. I like doing it. And only if you're going to maximize that time in the car. Thank you so much for your email. The phones are ready. We have a call from Buffalo, New York. Hello, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for taking my call.
And this is NJ?
Yes.
Awesome. How can I help you?
Well, I have a two-part question for you.
Okay.
My husband and I are on baby step four, and we just recently purchased a house with a 20% down payment. We think we will have the house paid off in about 10 to 12 years on our 15-year mortgage.
Good.
I have a deep passion to become a biblical counselor, and I found out that I can get my master's degree online through a great Christian college for only $5,000, and it will just take 2 to 3 years of independent study to get my degree. My husband supports my passion, but would like us to work more on the house, although we've put thousands of dollars into the house already,
mm-hmm.
and wants me to continue working at my full-time job for the next 10 years to keep paying down the house. My first question is, should I get my master's in biblical counseling starting next year since we can afford it? And the second part would be to, how can I grow my faith to make biblical counseling my full-time job to give us the income we need to leave my very stressful full-time job at some point down the road? The sooner the better for the pursuit of my passion to serve others with the word of God and health.
Hmm. What's your current job and how much are you making?
I work for a payroll company, the world's largest payroll company, and I make $50,000 a year.
Okay, and the counseling would allow you to make what?
Well, I figured out that if I could do 5 people each day for $40, I could make the same amount of money 5 days a week that I could working at my full-time job.
Okay, and What information have you been exposed to that helps you believe that this 5 people a day for $40 each can happen?
The Buffalo region doesn't have a lot of biblical counselors in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church that we attend, they usually just see the people that attend our church for biblical counseling. So what the church said is that when I have my master's, what they would do is they would refer people out to me, knowing that I have my master's in biblical counseling. I could take people into my own home and do the biblical counseling in our basement.
Okay. You know, that's a little bit of risk there because none of that's proven. You know, it's just right now it's just a lot of talk, which is good. It's good talk.
Right.
Just keep that in mind. What are these current conversations with your husband look like?
He's nervous. He's really nervous about, you know, he wants to get things done in the house, and I want that too. I think he's nervous because he wants me to wait like 10 years to really start this whole biblical counseling career because he wants to make sure that the house gets paid off and that we're not left in a position where, you know, he feels like he would have to take on another job or anything to make sure that we met our bills and things like that and our budget.
Okay. Now, do you feel like you've really tried? I mean, you seem to have a great personality. You seem like to have a personality I would never say no to. Have you really tried with him?
He wants my passion, but he wants to be certain that I could find clientele to match up with the income.
Yeah.
And I have no assurance of that. All I can do is trust God to know that if he wants this to happen, he will allow the people to come into my world to allow that to happen. But I don't know if I should wait 10 years or if I should do the master's and then dabble on the side in the evenings and then hopefully God will open the doors for other things. I don't really know.
Yeah, well, I agree with him on the standpoint of the financial side. I don't think there's a whole lot to work on here. And you don't even either. You just said that you finished that last sentence with, I don't know. So I agree with him on the financial side. As a husband, I would make sure that you address your passion, that you go after your passion. So I like you going after your passion. I like you going after it 100 mile an hour. This is more of a marriage and priority question, not a financial question. I think this is more of a just compromising in the middle. So how can you help him scratch that itch of paying off the home a little bit faster, and he can help you scratch the itch of going back to school? How can you do both? I think you sit down and get creative on how you guys can do both. Maybe it's some extra income. I do think one of the ways that you can help him with his concern is to offer to volunteer as a counselor now. To start getting engaged with just counseling as a volunteer, or maybe even some side income, just to prove that it's available. So yours won't be official counseling with a degree, or it won't be with the letters after your name, but it would be free advice. It'd be free counseling because you obviously got some kind of counseling knowledge. That's the reason why you have the passion for it. But I would start there with getting involved.
Our church does that. Our church does that now, where after you go through the program, you do volunteer. They don't charge at the church.
Okay.
You volunteer, and I would be volunteering the whole time. I'd be taking my master's as well.
Yeah. So I would get involved fast, come home with the stories of how God's changing you and how God's using you to help people and kind of spur that on. I would go the passion angle, and I would go the results angle of how God's using you in a powerful way, because those stories are going to be a lot more invigorating than working at the payroll company. So if you come home with those, I think that's going to help a lot. But I would address it from the passion angle, not the financial angle. I don't think you're going to win the financial angle. And then, you know, when you're having these conversations, you're going to have some frustrating moments. And I just want to remind you of Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. And so you really want to make sure you have that soft answer turns away wrath. Your personality is awesome. And I know that if you tried, you can get that 5K. He will see your way.
We don't have a problem with the 5K, you know, as far as we can afford that.
No, I'm talking about the allocation of the 5K. I know you can do that.
Oh,
I've got a wife. Yeah. I've got a wife just like you, and she can get me to do whatever she wants.
He is soft-hearted.
Yes,
so that's a good thing.
Yeah, NJ, you've got this thing down. Just work on it and leverage the conversation to build you guys closer. It's not really about the pit. It's not about the promise. It is about the process. And just soak it up and enjoy it. And these are all things that we know. We really do. We're just busy. We're living life very, very busy. You're busy. I know. There are so many demands on us, whether we're leading a church, a company, or a household. That's why it's important to have someone you can trust to help you with things like insurance, investing, real estate, and taxes. The Endorsed Local Provider Program is made up of professionals in your area who are experts in those fields and always put your needs first. Let our ELPs help you take care of the details so you can focus on things that matter. Find your ELP today at stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com and click ELP.
We appreciate you joining us for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
On the phone, we have Carl calling in from Orlando, Florida. How can I help you?
I have a question about life insurance. How much we need and for how many years?
Yeah.
We have, just a little background, we have about $2,000 left on our credit card that we owe. However, we're going to be paying that out of savings probably in the next week or so, and that'll still leave us with $1,000 in savings for our emergency fund. We owe $155,000 on our house. And that's the only debt we have.
Good. How old are you?
I am 40 and my wife is 36.
And do you both work outside the home?
We do.
Okay. How much do you guys make together?
Together, probably $45,000 or $50,000.
General rule of thumb is you're looking for 10 to 12 times your annual income each. So for the two of you, you're looking at anywhere from, I don't know, $550,000 to a $700,000 policy. Should be good for you. And a 20-year term is probably fine, but you can go longer than that if you'd like.
Well, how much money would I have to have in my IRA not to keep the life insurance?
Well, okay, so life insurance is not an investment.
Okay.
So conceptually, you and our listeners – just to help you out, you got your investments in kind of one bucket for your future, and life insurance is an income replacement. Big difference. One's an investment. All you're doing is you're buying insurance to replace income in case that income is no longer available due to death. But just don't think of it as an investment. It is an income replacement. And folks, the reason why this is so important is, well, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so this is really, really important stuff. And as you're kind of looking into this, Carl, I want to suggest you check out, of course, stewardship.com is our website. And under the Chris Recommends section, there is what we call our ELPs. They're Endorsed Local Providers. And they're folks that we trust and that we've filtered, and those insurance folks can help you out with this. All right?
Thank you.
Great question. Well, folks, again, you can call in at 866-357-3283. You can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. And again, the website is stewardship.com. This email is from Sarah. She says, I need to find a part-time job I can work from home. The jobs I have found online seem very suspicious. They probably are. Can you recommend a legitimate site to look at where I might be able to search for part-time jobs from home? Well, Sarah, I actually don't have that particular website for you, but I do have a great resource that you want to know about, and it's ChristyWright.com. Again, it's ChristyWright.com. We just had her on the show. So if you want to kind of research that episode with Christy Wright on stewardship.com or in previous episodes on iTunes, she talks all about great practical advice on how to find part-time work. And so check that out. Again, it's ChristyWright.com, and she can point you in the right direction. We now have Mina on the line calling in from Los Angeles. Mina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am blessed. How can I serve you?
Actually, I have a career-related question. A few months ago, I was interviewing for jobs, and I got an offer from one company that was a little low, so I turned it down, and I accepted another offer. And after I did that, the company that I declined the offer from came back with a higher offer, but I had to turn it down because I had already signed my offer letter. So now they're coming back to me 2 months after, and they want to see if I'm still interested. What would you do in this situation?
Well, congrats for being so marketable. That's a pretty cool problem to have.
Yeah.
What industry?
Construction.
Okay.
Project engineer for a construction company.
Engineering. Got it. Very cool. So you're a bright fella. you're one of those people that intimidate me.
No.
where do you want to work? Which one of them? Where do you want to work? Where does your heart tell you to go? If there was no other variables, where would you go?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean, I feel good where I am right now, but.
What's the biggest pro for each one of them?
For the one that I declined, it's a 3-year project. So I know what I'm going to be for the next 3 years. As my current employer, the project I'm on should end in February, and after that, I don't know what my next project will be. So the pro would be, the good thing would be that I know what I'm going to be for the next 3 years, and it's close to home where I live.
Okay. Now, one more question. What are your priorities in life? Like, if you were to put your priorities in life, like, down on a piece of paper, and I'm talking about all of life, not just in your work, what's most important to you, in order, your top three?
God and my family and my job.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
God, family, and my career.
God, family, and career. So if you're wondering whether you need to disclose, you need to make sure you think about God first. Are you doing anything morally wrong or biblically wrong by disclosing or not disclosing? And I don't see anything there on whether you need to say or not to say. You don't have any kind of commitment to them that you have to communicate at this point. Okay, now you think about your family. Disclosing this to your current employer that you've been at for less than 90 days, that could put your family in jeopardy. So your priority to your family, your loyalty to your family is more important than disclosing that to your workplace at this point. Okay. In the event that you were to go back to this other company, let's say they're offering you more money. Okay. Here's where I want to give you some pretty more detailed advice. At that point, you decide you're leaving. You've got to communicate very, very well. As soon as you make that decision, you need to not only communicate well, after you've weighed out the options, but then you've got to make it right.
Yeah.
Okay. They've invested money into you and you guys got to make it right. And I would be over generous on how you make it right. So let's say they invested $8,000 in you.
Yeah.
I would actually offer them, I want to give you $10,000 for your time. It will come back. They probably won't even take it.
Yeah.
But the class and the respect and the rare behavior that is, it's going to definitely be a huge, and you're not going to burn a bridge, and it's going to be a huge impression on them, and it's going to make a huge difference. And the bottom line is, I would communicate this too, that you're not fickle. This isn't a fickle thing. The variables have changed.
Yeah.
It's not like you changed your mind. The variables changed, so you're not fickle. So make sure you communicate that, because if they try to pin you in the corner and saying that you're fickle and you changed your mind, you didn't.
Yeah.
The variables changed. They've now increased the offer. Hey, that's what happens when you go after marketable people. This kind of thing happens. So that's what I would do, my friend.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mina. Well, that is so cool. And what a great problem to have. I mean, to be that marketable. Very, very cool. Very few people are in that spot. And then even fewer people are actually cognizant and have enough integrity and have a conscience that they want to do the right thing. And it's such a hard thing, right? We're taught all the time that we need to be super, super loyal to our companies. We do. But we've also got to put it in priority. If it's going to jeopardize our family, then that's a problem. The Bible says that we need to take care of our household. It is our first priority. And so we need to do that for sure. Well, folks, it's hard to believe that we're all done for today. You've been listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, there's no need to send in a donation today or to pledge anything, but I can't encourage you enough to check out a tremendous resource, and that is my website, stewardship.com. Be sure to tell your family and your friends to check the show out, and for you podcast listeners, it would be great if you would leave us a review on iTunes. It's been an honor to serve you today. May it continue to be our prayer to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.